We're going to wrap up this series entitled "People of the Margins," and I want to. It's interesting how this all came about. Unless you're in my head and in my world, you won't be as odd as I am. But the way things sort of meshed, I see. Because as I pray into things and it's just like, oh God, you were orchestrating this right from the get-go, how everything has woven together. And that's pretty amazing, actually. And it's just something about if you'll invite God into your life, you'll be surprised what he'll do in your life. If you'll let him, he'll do amazing things. You'll stand back and you'll go, wow, good. Anyway, I want to start off by telling you, my mom used to tell me, she used to say, always about my mom, eh? I always thought I should do a book called The Gospel According to Grace. She would tell me, Scott, you can do anything you want if you put your mind to it. I heard a yep. I'm 55, and I would say, Mom, sort of. Not really. Now, what was good about that phrase and telling me that when I'm, young whippersnapper at 16 and 17 is that you think, I can do anything I want, and I'll just go for it. So it was very inspirational little phrase from her. But it's not necessarily accurate. I can do anything that I want, but it does come at a cost if I approach it from that angle. For instance, I can play the guitar, but I'm not a guitar. Like, I can. I can. Yeah, it's true. But I'm not a guitarist, nor will I ever be a guitarist. Okay? Now, you could argue, you can, you know? Well, no, I don't think so. Because there's a lot of things I'd like to be. I'd like to be an astrophysicist. I would. I would love to be, because that whole thing just amazes me. What I just wouldn't want, the courses I wouldn't want to take are anything to do with that have any numbers or math in them. So, right? Just, I got a problem now. I can't do this program, can I? I'm not going to get there. So that's not going to work. I'd like to be a classical pianist. I love classical music, love the piano. But the hours... When my daughter was thinking of taking a music degree at Laurier, and you heard that students were doing their courses plus 6 hours of practice a day, it was like, I'm looking at my, looking at my day, think of my day. Where would I fit 6 hours? Like, it wasn't for me, but it was like, who would do that? Well, it's people who, they're just, it's their third arm, right? They just, it's who they are. I could never be an artist, could never paint, because my horse would look like a dog, and my dog would look like what? it just is. And you can teach me the skills, and I can get better, but it would probably just look two-dimensional. That's why they got Stickman. Absolutely. I can do stick. I can do that. And if you're honest with yourself, you'll know there's just some things that just come naturally to you. They just do. They just do. It's something you can do it, and you know what? It feels good when you do it. It could be hard or stressful, but still it's a good stress. You may be tired after you're doing it, but it's a good tired, right? And there's other things you could do, and it's stressful, and it crushes you, right? It's like slowly extracting a tooth. Just get it over with, right? It's hard. It can be tiring, and it's really tiring. It's exhausting, and that's not for you. It's not good. It doesn't come natural. Now you can. That doesn't mean you can't learn things and read books. Yeah, you can. You can do all that, but you just know it's just not your thing, right? Just not your thing. So I want you right now. I want you to do me a favor. Take 60 seconds. We're going to take not exactly 60. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you just to imagine who you are. Just imagine yourself. Just picture yourself. Picture yourself. Remove any expectations of anybody else. Nobody's watching. There's nothing. Just you. Just you. What is that thing where when you engage in it, Remove your job. Forget your job. When you engage in this, man, energy flows. Man, it's just, you come to life. Your eyes sparkle. What is that thing? What is that? I want you to lock that in. And I want you to remember that, okay? Just keep that there. And I want to read to you this passage. It's from Leviticus, and it says, and Tim Windsor, he started out with this passage on the first message of this series. When you harvest the crops of your land, do not harvest the grain along the edges of your fields, and do not pick up what the harvesters drop. It is the same with your grape crop. Do not strip every last bunch of grapes from the vines. Do not pick up the grapes that fall to the ground. Leave them for the poor and the foreigners living among you. I am the Lord your God. And that passage introduced for us the idea of don't live your life right to the edges of your field. Okay. Now that the application for this for the Jewish people was to leave the edges of your field so poor people can come and the foreigners can come and collect, because it's making sure everybody can be provided for. But there is a principle in that passage about how you live your life in every area about. Don't live right to the edge of your field or beyond that. And a lot of us live in different areas. We live beyond our margins, be it your time or your energy or your finances or whatever. We live beyond. But today I want you to think of the field in relation to your gift or your skill set or your abilities, your talent. And being honest with yourself, okay? That little place you just went to with you, with nobody else looking, just you and Jesus, and going, what is it that just makes me hum? Okay? And if you don't know, if you go, gosh, I have no idea, you need to spend time and ask that, what is it that makes me just hum? If there was, you know... But I want to apply this passage to that whole area of the area of gifting. Think of that's your field. When it talks about your field, your harvest, your crop, I want you to think of your gift. Okay, that's what I want you to think of today. Because that field represents the area you shine in. And I believe God has given each and every one of us a field to work. Now that I think that applies in it could be your vocational gifting, could be, you know, just a natural ability you have in something, but it also applies to your role in the body of Christ. And I'm not talking about the institutional church either. I'm talking about the body of Christ, because the kingdom, many people, you read in Scripture, many different parts to make things work, right? Paul, when he was writing to the Christians in Rome, he, for 11 chapters, he explained about how can't live by the law, because there was some Jewish Christians there, and he was saying that everything is by the grace of Christ. And then he moves into some practical stuff, and he talks about in chapter 12 that if you're going to live your life in view of everything Christ has done for you, offer yourself as a living sacrifice, alive, you're alive, to give all you have. And then he talks about gifts, and Paul says this here. He says, because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning, don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. And in His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. Paul is saying to my mom, is grace, listen, no, you can't do or be whatever you want to be as long as you put your mind to it. There's certain things people are given to do. And when you do that, when you are there, you will do that well. When you move out of there and go for something else, try to do something else, you'll be really challenged at doing it well. Really challenged. It'll be hard. You may be able to do it. You may be able to give your best effort, but it won't be you won't flourish there. Here's another one. This is in Ephesians, and Paul here is talking to the Ephesians, and he's talking about the church. And Paul loves the church, and he loves how God has shaped it. And he said God gave gifts to the church. He gave apostle and prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. He gave those gifts to what? Why? Paul says to equip and to build up the church so that they are equipped and they can do the work of God. How he's arranged things. Different parts. And then this brilliant, what I think is a brilliant passage, and I'll explain more in a few minutes. He says he makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part, you, me, does its own special work. You have a special job to do. You know that? You bring a gift nobody else can bring. Right? And it's not this hierarchy. The beauty of the kingdom, what I love about the kingdom, is that there's not this hierarchy that this is the best position to have up here. I used to have that mindset. When I came back to the Lord, you know, up north in Ignace, and then went down to down to Brighton, and we were at a church. I thought, if I can just get on the board of directors or become a deacon was an elder at the church I attended at. But if I can become there, I've arrived. And I arrived there I was 28 years old, you know, on the board. Boy, I arrived all right. Well, what a thing I got into. And it's not true. It has nothing to do with position. Nothing to do. Nothing at all. You know? Absolutely nothing. But it's when each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow. I should have, made other parts grow. It helped. I should have made that phrase, it helps the other parts grow. I should have bolded it, highlighted in yellow and everything else and glowing or something. That is brilliant. So that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Key points. I want to hit this really quick. I need to be honest in how I see myself. Okay? I can't confuse what I excel at with what I wish I could excel at. Do you get the difference? Usually, When I go into the area of I wish I could, it's usually because I'm looking over at some, I'm comparing myself with somebody else. Bad move. You compare, you're done. You're done. You're just going to devastate yourself. You know? You can't compare. Comparison just kills. Just kills. And I love how Paul says that. You know, be honest with yourself. Don't think of yourself more highly than you should. Cuts right to the point, doesn't he? And this, Paul says this, what has God given me faith for? I wondered about that. What do you mean by that, Paul? What God has given you faith for? You know how you go when you look deep inside yourself and you know I do well at that. You whisper it right. You don't tell other people because it sounds arrogant. I do. But you know what that is? That's a seed of faith, right? Nobody other knows that like you do. Like you know it, right? And you have faith for that. I can't say it with full of faith, saying, "I know I'm an astrophysicist." Right? Because as soon as I say it, it's like God goes, yeah, whatever. Sure. If that works for you. Right? It doesn't. I can't say that with conviction. Yeah, that's me. That's me, right? Can't say that. What does God give me faith for? The other one here is keeping in mind that I'm not an island unto myself. I am part of something larger than myself, which is us, the body of Christ. In our world, we're part of something larger than ourselves. In your community, you're part of something larger than yourself. You see, because I've always wondered this thing, you know, what do you aspire your child to be? A doctor, a lawyer, NHL, you know, NFL, whatever, right? We've got these high things that we want our kids to be, right? I want prime minister, leader of the world, whatever, right? Millionaire, billionaire, so they can look after me. What, right? Whatever, that's what we want. But that wouldn't make sense because you wouldn't want everybody to be like that, would you? Because when my car breaks down on the 401, I don't want an astrophysicist to stop and say he could help me or she can help me. You're not going to help me very much right now. Go away. What do you want? I want a tow truck driver. I want a mechanic. Otherwise, I'm not getting anywhere, right? Like, so I go through there and I go, well, that's important. Like, I need that. Anyway, going off here. And the beauty is that if we can see ourselves as part of something bigger, when I do my part, I help you grow. I help you get better. That's ever thought of that? Ever pondered that one? Should. Next one here. Whatever my strength is, do it. If you know John Maxwell, you probably heard of the name. He used to be a pastor, but he was a guru of leadership and that. He's retired now. He used to say, you know, figure out what your strengths are, but work on your weaknesses as well. That's what he used to say years, decades ago. Well, after he retired, I heard him say, forget your weaknesses, work on your strengths. As he looked back. That's what he said. He said, you know what? Recognize your weaknesses, but no, whatever your strengths are, leverage that. Work on that. Do that. I was like, it's interesting. You're retiring. Now there's your words of wisdom. Now some of my own thoughts as well. When I work your field, I encroach on your gift. How so? Because if I am doing something that you can do better, I'm sort of taking up real estate that I shouldn't be taking up. Get off my land, sort of thing, right? I'm taking up, don't. The other truth is when I work your field, I'm neglecting mine. You know that? Oh, no, I can do it all. Right. No, you can't. You can't do it. Here's something else I was thinking through as I was working this through. When I work my field, it'll encourage you and allow you to work your gift. Why? There's something inspiring about seeing people that excelling at things. You'll see them and you go, wow, that's good. Good stuff. It inspires us, right? And when I work my field, when I work what I'm good at, when I hone that, sharpen it, it flourishes. It flourishes. Why? Because it just comes, it flows. You can give it everything. It doesn't drain you. It doesn't stress you badly. You can leverage that and do it well. Real short example. No, forget the example. I'm just going to rabbit trail. I can't afford rabbit trails today. The beauty of working your own field is I don't have to apologize for doing what brings me life and feels good. Because those are indicators that I'm working my field. Those are indicators that's what God has gifted me for. And I need to work that. It's okay to do what you really like to do. Unfortunately, though, I see a lot of people it's not that they're encroaching on other fields. They're not even working their own field. It's like, work your field. Like, find out what the beauty you bring. Like, seriously. Your life is going. Oh, there's nothing I can contribute. Yes, there is. Absolutely. I believe it. Strongly, firmly believe it. Firmly. Boy, I could go down so many rabbit trails, but I don't want to. I'm just going to leave that there. My story. So last summer, I went on sabbatical. Hit the first month, bam, like I ran into a brick wall. I was tired, wanted to sleep, extra 2-3 hours a day. I didn't even, all I wanted to do was just sit on my deck and stare. Didn't want to read, didn't want to do nothing. My prayer to God was, God, I don't feel like praying. I'm tired. And it was like I heard him say, I know you're, go to bed. Sleep. Sleep. And as I pondered that through the sabbatical and then coming back into, back in gear here and going, what is up with that? Why am I so tired? Like, what is this? Give my head a shake. What is that? I need vitamins or something or what? Like, what's going on? And just this, and as I was dialoguing with my spiritual director about this, and sharing her my prayers and where I'm at, she said, well, you need to talk to God about it, talk to him. And for me, it was like, go back to your call. What was your call? What is it? I go back to my call. And I don't even have to stay there long. It's like, I know what my call is. I know what it is. I know. Without a shadow of a doubt, guys, my call is pastor teacher. That's who I am. You cut me, that's what I bleed. I bleed pastor teacher. That's what I bleed. Right? Now, in doing this job, in doing the job description that I do, part of it is the area of administration, organizational structure, and that includes the finances as well, looking at having a grasp on that. And I struggle with finances in the sense of not spending the money I can spend with the best of them. ask April. I can spend. That's not a problem. But I can learn things. I can learn. And I've paid attention. I've learned along the way. But there's something about if when I look at spreadsheets, my eyes glaze, right? I don't know why, but it's uncanny. It really is. It's like, I try. I've told myself, I can do this. Right? Here's the flip side of it. When I was starting to go to Bible college, one of my greatest fears was doing theology class. Because it just sounded like dry, right? Just, I wonder how I'm going to get through this. And look how many theology courses I got to do. It was like, first class, it was like, I came alive. I love this stuff. It's like, what is that? What's that all about? It was like, oh. And yes, was I stressed in some of my papers and some of the books? Yes, but it was a good stress. It felt good. It was like, bring it on. Come on, right? And get into that. My eyes don't glaze, my eyes sparkle with that, right? I like that. And when I came back, I met with Chris first, and the first thing I noticed was he'd done a good job. I knew he was going to. I knew that ahead of time. That's why I said, dude, I just... It's all yours. Do whatever you want. sort of. But do whatever you want. And he did well. One of the things I recognize with Chris is that organizationally, he's brilliant. He's a brilliant man, eh? He there's things he grasps that I don't grasp. His eyes don't glaze on some things, right? Mine do. Mine glaze. And you know, as I talked to the Lord about it, it was this thing of, so what are you doing? Still doing that? And it was just, yeah, it doesn't make sense. This is silly. This is crazy. Because I'm ripping the church off. I'm ripping you guys off. Because you don't get to see what I'm really all about. What really? Because when I work that other field, I am not tending to my own. And you can see weeds on it, and scrub and all that stuff, and it's not good. It's not good. Not right. Not right. And I felt the Lord go, got a choice to make. You got a choice to make. Scott, what's your choice? And my choice was, it was like, okay, we're going to shift some things. We're going to shift some things. Why? Because this is silly. You know, and when I asked the Lord, so what is it? Why am I struggling here? That struggle must mean it must be wrong. And God said, baloney. It's your ego. You don't ever like hearing that, right? It's like, okay, could you put that another way, God? Like, it's your ego. And so it came to the acknowledgement that, you know what, we're going to shift some things here with some responsibilities. And so chatted with Chris, chatting with the elders, chatting with the board, lots of discussions around it. Praying, lots of prayer, lots of prayer, lots of prayer. And it was like, yeah, we're going to shift some things over to Chris, but for Chris, I want him to work alongside with me. And so starting today, we're going to be co-lead pastors, is what we're going to be doing. That's what we're going to be doing. And the reason we're doing that is because, you know, you can have structures set up, and what you end up doing is serving the structures. Serving the structures. Structures are meant to serve us, not we serve them, right? And so that's what we're going to be doing. I don't want my eyes to glaze over anymore. Because, guys, it's killing me. It's killing me. It is. I told God almost a year ago, woke up in the middle of the night going, I can't do another 12 and a half years like this. I didn't know where that came from. I think I told you that story. I'm not going to tell it again right now. But, and it was like, and it's like, why? If you remove the ego, it's real easy to do. The ego gets in the way a lot. So that's what we're shifting to. Now, are you coming down, Chris? Or are you going to stay up there? Were you listening? Kidding. He's a great guy. Now. Wow. Now I want you to hear me on something else. What's good for me is good for you. Okay? It's good for you. That gift or that strength that you locked into, you need to work that. You need to ask yourself, A, am I working in other fields that I shouldn't be working in? Because those other fields, even if the people aren't doing it, it's not your responsibility. Your responsibility is your field. Your field. Work your field. Do that. Because when you do that, you help me. When I do mine, I'll help you. I help you. That helps you. It doesn't help you if I'm doing every other thing. Do it for the sake of God. For God's sake, do it. Okay? For the sake of the kingdom, do it. Kingdom needs you to work your field. Don't work my field. Don't work at somebody else's field. Work your field. Work your field. It'll feel good. Guaranteed it'll feel good. You'll excel. You'll flourish. Just be fantastic. And just like, you know, to... I got a whole few pages here yet, man. I don't. Just kidding you. But just as it is true for each of us individually, it's hear me out now. Hear me out now. I know those cries. Just as it is true for each of us individually, it is true for the local church. Did you hear me? It's true for the local church. You know what will kill us? Comparison. You know what will kill us? Thinking we got to do everything. Because guess what? We're part of something larger. That's called the body of Christ. I love the fact that Paul writes to the church in the city of whatever. And it's for the churches. There are things we do well. We just know it gives life. When we do it, it just, boom. It's just like paddling downstream. It's just easy. You just got to steer it. That's all you got to do. And there's other things we could try to do, and it's like paddling upstream. You got to work. And there's things we're called to do, and we're responsible to make sure we work our field, whatever that is. Do our part, because when we do that, we'll help Maranatha. We'll help Calvary. We'll help the different churches that are around. And as they do their part, they help us. And we don't, see, we bought into this thing that we have to be a Walmart. No, you don't. You don't have to be everything to every person. You can't. You can't. Impossible. Impossible. So we are shifting some pastoral leadership stuff, right? Shifting stuff over to Chris there. Some of the some of the key organizational vision stuff, some of the key administrative and things to do with the business side of church. I'm digging more into the whole area of pastoral leadership, discipleship, making that. That's what I think about. That's what I dream about. I don't dream about spreadsheets. Those are nightmares. I wake up with the sweats, right? And with that, there's just a lot of things giving birth right now, a lot of things giving birth. And so we want to. There's VQIP was one of them, but there's a lot of other things. But there's this one key thing we want to talk about. Chris, welcome.
All right, awesome. By the way, for those of you who know me and hear the word organizational and go, Chris, there is a big difference between organizational capacity in terms of having vision for an organization and being organized, and so I need help. And I've been trying for years to not spread around that I actually typically can look at spreadsheets and understand what's going on, but some secrets have to be disclosed eventually. I'm just going to hand these out. If I can just take one and pass it along. Organizational vision, who are we? Thanks, man. David, if you want to bring up that presentation. We are we're shifting a number of things today. We're announcing another service as well in the mix of all of this. Yeah, it's really good. And we knew when we went from two services, if those of you who remember back in the day, we had 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock. And we knew that when we went to one service that was going to feel really good, but we knew that was not the end game. That was a clear sense of, you know, we needed to have a time of consolidation and feeling our full strength. We've had that season. We have a sense of strength. But God has been, for some time now, we've really felt Him speaking and leading towards having another point of connection, another gathering. And unlike what we have done in the past, where we had two services that were identical, more or less, what we're doing now is we're creating another point of connection, another day, another time, another kind of culture in some ways we're revisiting and asking, you know, we've got to think, rethink church, reimagine community. Does that mean that what's happening here on a Sunday is lesser or bad or no, it doesn't mean that at all. But it means that we are called as a people not just to be our own club, but we're called as a people to be part, to be caught up in the mission of the kingdom, the mission of God, to intersect with lives of people in our communities, and that is an area where we can grow. That's a reality. You know, I mean, we meet on Sundays for a lot of excellent reasons, historically, you know, but the reality is the culture that we are in has shifted, and now Sunday is another shopping day. It's another day where maybe, and some of us do go. Some of us are going to have to leave service at some point here because they've got to hit work, got to go to work, and so it's not always easy for us to attend Sundays. So there's why are we doing a new service? One of the reasons is because we're growing. And we're growing, and we need to create capacity for that to happen, because there's nothing like showing up and not having a place that you can see that there's room for you to be. Imagine being invited for dinner and there was no setting for you. So we need to have a place where we have settings for people when they show up. There's space for them. I mean, it's awesome. What an awesome problem to have, that our Sundays are just, you know, packed out as often as not. And so that's fantastic. We're called to reach out. We're called to be a presence in our community. And we are here on Sundays. But the reality is that Sunday morning is not a major touch point in our community. There are lots of people who would likely never find their way into a church on a Sunday morning, into a gathering. And we think that what God is doing in our midst is very important and very significant. And so this gives us an opportunity to retool some things as well, some of our language. We'll get to that in a minute. Because the times and culture of the world we live in are shifting. And we are, you know, one of the things that we have here is we do have a comfortable culture and a comfortable language. And whenever you have that, and whenever you have that sense of community, it's pretty easy to not look over the hedge, and we really feel compelled to create a gathering point that is not church light, but that is compelled by mission and call to look over the hedge, and that's consistent for all of us for sure. But we have an opportunity to start not completely from scratch, but to really have that as one of our focuses for the what and why and how we do things. And because the elders and pastoral leadership have prayed, and this really seems right to us in the Holy Spirit and the board as well, and so a sense of God saying, hey, this is something for us to do. Who is this for? There are three sort of types of people that I really see that this is for. One is for those of us who just have busy schedules, and it's hard for us to attend every week on a Sunday. And so, you know, Susie has a game on Sunday at 1 somewhere else, and so you can't attend, but you have freedom to show up on a Friday. So this is, for us, another point of connection. If you can't make Sunday, you can pop in on Friday. So that's part of it. It's just availability, because we do live in very busy times. I want to make sure that we understand this well. People who don't fully identify with the culture of a Sunday gathering, we have a culture here, and it's much of it's beautiful, but like any culture and subgroup, we have a particular kind of language and style, and some of us feel more at home with that than other people, and that's a reality. Again, that's not an indictment on what we do here. Love what we do here. But we are going to create something that's going to be a little different, something that may be a bit more comfortable skin to wear in terms of Christ-centered community than what this gathering is. And that's just real life. There's nothing weird about that or anything. And this is people who are unfamiliar with church and or faith. You know, we have words that that we assume, I as a pastor have words that I assume that all of you guys know what I'm talking about because we're Christians. And yet, the reality is that hopefully not everybody in this room has had an encounter with Jesus yet. And so we're going to create a space where we're going to be very aware of that in our language. What will it look like? It's a very good question. It's still going to be built around the experience of word, worship, and community. These are the core foundational elements of what it means to gather together. But we are going to have distinctive shifts in culture through language and experience. What does that look like exactly? Well, we're going to be experimenting a little bit, but it's going to have to do with the language. You know, our gatherings can be very strange for people who don't know our lingo. You know, what does prophetic even mean? That's not a word that exists outside of the church. And so we're creating a space where, you know, we'll still hear from God and receive things that he's speaking to us through words and pictures so there'll be an element of that in it. And the big thing is we're going to be experimenting and listening as we go. You know, worship will be a little bit different, very immediate. It's going to be something for us to experience together and to build together. So when and where? Fridays, 7 p.m. as of April 10th, which is the first Friday after Easter. We're probably going to start to gather in the fireside room, depending on what our numbers are like. We expect to start fairly small and then grow as we invite people, as we invite our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers to experience Christian community with us. This is very much part of the mission of this church, is to encounter those who do not know the love of God, and we really see that this will be a place where that will be a safe and very interesting place to be. So now there are a couple of things that I just want to point out. It's very important. I said that Friday nights are not going to be church light, right? That's very significant. If you're feeling compelled, like this sounds like it's something that you want to be involved in, you know, there's no expectation that somebody on Friday would also be attending on a Sunday morning. I mean, you can if you just really love church. That's great. But this is going to be a full experience of Christian community. Now, we are not segregating as well. We're not like having two separate churches that meet in the same place. There will be points for us to connect as a larger body through worship nights and that sort of thing. Scott and I are going to be, in many ways, sharing the leadership of this. I will be giving primary direction to Friday nights, and Scott will be giving primary direction to Sunday mornings, but neither of us are going to be absent from the other gatherings. Might see a little less of me on Sundays, but I'm still around. You may see a little less of Scott on Friday nights, but he's still going to be present in those things. And so, you know, and part of this is that as we grow as a community, and figure out what the capacity of God is for us as a body, we are all going to just need to be kind of flexible and learning what this looks like. Because we could get up here and have a big, like, 10-point, you know, this is going to be exactly like thus and so. But the reality is, until we get into the thing and see how this starts to take shape, it's really hard for us to predict. And so there's a shift that's taking place, and we can certainly feel it. I'm very excited about it, we'll see how this thing plays out and what it looks like. So I've done a couple things. On our Facebook group, I've created an event. And what I'd like to ask you to consider prayerfully is if you're feeling like, yes, as you're hearing this, you're just feeling like this is something that I think there's a leading, I'm feeling a leading, or I'm feeling a resonance, come check it out. If you accept that you're going to attend on the Facebook group, it'll help us to figure out who's coming so we can figure out what room to be in, essentially, for our size. And we're going to start in, and we're going to listen and see what happens. But we're looking at building a core group of people who will be able to carry, it will be different in nature in terms of what will be, you know, what we need in terms of serving and that kind of thing. But there'll be room for that in terms of helping to set things up and be involved and greet people. These are all things that are going to be part of this. So we want to get this out now. We've got a few weeks to go until we jump in on this. And I feel the excitement of God and the terror of my own like risk to, you know, this is risky, right? But I do feel like this is a, and we have, as we've been praying and looking at this, this is not a new conversation for us. Feel like this is a very significant part of what God's plans are for this community. And not just for us for the sake of us, but us for the sake of our world that we live in and the message and purposes that God has built into this community. Very significant. Not greater or less than other churches, but the vineyard is called in these things, and so this is us moving forward to it. So I hope that makes sense. Happy to interact and answer any questions that you might have, and
I just want to say just a couple things on this. Where we want to see the church, yes, church, our times together are for us, but not solely for us. When we gather, we also want to be, it's also a missional point, right? It's also a point of being able to, do we understand what God has called the church to do, to go and make disciples, to be proactive, not just to be on the receiving end, but to be on the giving end, to be that we're here on a mission. If you think of yourself as a missionary at a mission base cross-culturally, everybody's in, everybody is working to reach. I want you to ponder this. This is what Paul wrote to the Corinthians. When I'm with the Gentiles who do not follow the Jewish law, I too live apart from the law, so I can bring them to Christ. But I do not ignore the law of God. I obey the law of Christ. When I am with those who are weak, I share their weakness, for I want to bring the weak to Christ. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. And I do everything to spread the good news and share in its blessings. There is a sense in Paul's mission that I will go to great lengths to try and reach some people. I'll do what I can. And the question we need to ask ourselves is, how far will we go to reach? How far will we go? And our culture shifted hugely, hugely. When I was a wee boy, Sundays, town was rolled up, closed up, right? Total different culture. We live in a total different world now, totally different. And the church, this isn't new for the church. The church has always adjusted. Down through the centuries, just read some church history and you'll see it's always adjusted. So this is what we're wanting to be the church. Not just do church, but be it. Really be it. And that's our desire, that's our longing. Is there anything?
Yeah. Barb.
I think before you close and everybody takes off, I know it's lunchtime and everybody's hungry, but I would like to ask anybody who feels led to join me in coming around. Scott, and Chris, Jeff, Jeff, and praying for them as they start this new venture.
It'd be awesome. Thank you. Thank you.
I
was feeling that.
Okay, awesome. Good.
Yeah,
and there's I realize that there's lots more to say about all this stuff, lots of questions, and we're going in eyes wide open in terms of shifting roles and what all that means and making sure that I've already had a good conversation with Tribe and what that's looking. I'm not going to vanish from Tribe at all. We're going to be shifting some things there as well, obviously. But be praying and... I'll just pray a closing, if that's okay, and then we covet your prayers, for sure.
Lord, you have called us to a field, you have called us to a capacity, Lord, and we desire as a people to be completely present in the field that you have invited us into, the field that you've actually given us. Lord, and in some ways this is about increasing our capacity, but not going so far out into the margins that we start to bleed apart and break apart, Lord, in capacity. This is about a multiplication thing, I think. And Lord, so we ask that you would begin seeding or continue to seed vision, personal investment in what you're calling us to, Lord, and we ask that you would in every way that you would remind us that we're not a club. And I don't often use military language, but we're not a club, we're an army. We're not a club who celebrates the love of God, we're an army that traffics in the love of God. And Lord, I pray that you would just speak to us deeply in our gut, and regardless of whether we're to start connecting primarily on a Friday or continue connecting primarily on a Sunday, Lord, we pray that the gut buy-in, response, and investment of your people into your purposes through this community would be commensurate with your passion. With your purposes, and this is who we long to be, Lord. Not for the sake of being the witness to in this church, but for the sake of being faithful to what you've called us to, Lord. And so we just ask that you would linger on us as we go from this place today. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Amen.